Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday service. As we mentioned earlier, this is a very special day for the Ananda members worldwide, and I hope for each of us. This is the day, as we said, 11 years ago that Swami Kriyananda attained moksha, left his body. And so we will be focusing the service primarily on him today. We'll begin by reading one of Yogananda's whispers from eternity, which seemed to me to describe Swami very well. It is called, Satisfy My Soul Hunger. O all-pervading spirit, the breeze of thy inspiration has removed every cloud from my heart. The firmament of my mind is now clear. Purified, I behold only thee everywhere. The sunshine of thy joy spreads rapidly to the farthest shores of my being. After long ages of hunger, I feed on thy light. By thy grace and by my constant wakefulness in thee, may this joy be mine forever, forever, and forever. So Jyotish read the passage from Rays of the One Light on to each according to his faith. And I'd like to pick up talking about Swamiji from that thought, that there's a beautiful and really thought-provoking sentence from the Bible, which simply says, faith is the proof of things unseen. And we've heard that often, I've heard it often, but I don't think I really understand it. And when I thought about Swamiji in these terms, it made sense to me that by his own description of himself as a young man, he was overly intellectual, he was riddled with doubt, as he says, but deeply, deeply seeking meaning and purpose in life. And then at a point of despair, at the age of 22, he found Autobiography of a Yogi, and he read it. He had never met Master. He knew very little of the teachings that Master was sharing, but so strong was his yearning for God that his faith in Master was the proof of things unseen. He had never met Master, but he took the next bus, Greyhound bus, from New York City, where he was living, all the way across the country to Los Angeles, met Yogananda, got to have an interview with him, and his faith brought forth from him. Remember it said in that passage, faith is the attractive power that draws to us a level of consciousness. His faith drew forth from him the words, his first words to Yogananda, I want to be your disciple. That was an act of faith because he knew nothing. He knew nothing of what he was entering into, but his faith was so strong that he took that step and was trained by Yogananda as a disciple for the last 3.5 years of Yogananda's life. And when we met him in the late 1960s, he had been serving Yogananda for many years. He had suffered many blows from people he trusted and people he loved. He had not had an easy path of discipleship, but his faith, he was told never to represent Master, but his faith and his discipleship kept him. Faith is the proof of things unseen. Yogananda was no longer there to tell him what to do, but he could feel in his discipleship how to go forward. And by the time we met him, I know I was a young person and really looking, as Swami had been, for meaning and purpose in my life, and came out from the Midwest, from Wisconsin. out to here, Nevada City, California. It was 1969, just beginning, Ananda was. But I heard Swami Kriyananda speak. And at that time, the image that came to me, I was sharing this with some others, he was like a great tree, a strong, strong tree. His roots reached deep into the earth, deep, making that contact with the power of the guru. And his trunk was so strong. It was unmovable, no matter how people tried to chop it with an axe or the wind tried to blow it over. That trunk was unmoving, just permanent. There's that beautiful hymn to Brahma. He is pure, permanent, unmoving. Unmoving, that power. And then his branches and the leaves and the fruit of that tree were all the things he did in service to his guru, the books he wrote and the lectures and the music and the plays and the humor and the P.G. Woodhouse stories he read us and everything he did to create, to act on, to spread Master's teachings. Because as he came across the country on that Greyhound bus before he met Master, but having read autobiography, the two thoughts that were uppermost in my mind, he said, were, I want to find God, and these teachings are so wonderful, I want to share them with everyone. And that's just what he did for the remainder of his life. And he was able, in that beautiful tree that was his life, many of us sat in the shade of that tree for decades, for over 40 years, and we received the fruit of his life of discipleship, and we received the shade and the protection and the inspiration and the power that was in that beautiful tree. And it was his faith that enabled him to awaken in all of us what discipleship was, what life in God was. And then Master Swamiji said of Master that he was the guru, and the avatar, the enlightened being to guide Dwapara Yuga, this age of energy. We're moving out of Kali Yuga. This is according to the Vedantic teachings, then an age of where the consciousness of humanity is mainly based in matter and material things, but we're moving into an age of energy. Well, it struck me, if Master was an avatar of Dwapara Yuga, Swamiji was a disciple of Dwapara Yuga. And what he did was give a new light onto discipleship. It wasn't just, yes, sir, whatever you say, sir, I'll be a good little quiet person and I'll never object. He was filled with joy, filled with energy, and he created communities all over the world that were not based on hierarchy, I'm above you and you're below me and you do what I say, but it was equal. Everyone was a child of God. And often he would say, if a visitor was coming, I mean, we were new on the path, but he would say, hold us in his discipleship, and he would say, we are all disciples of Master. And he embraced us in his discipleship, and so that we could do it too. But he created through, he often said that Master's teachings were like the hub of a wheel, and all the books that Swamiji wrote were the spokes, but they all referred to that hub. And to show a new kind of discipleship that was creative and joyful and expansive and didn't just wait to do what had come before, but broke new ground of what the spiritual life was, of what Master's teachings are, and how each of us can live them. And really, when you think about it, it's amazing what he was able to accomplish. And his music, someone was asking us, why did he write all that music? Well, he called his music, as we know, I'm going to get a drink of water here. He called it philosophy in song, or painless philosophy. And when you listen to his music, and that's why it's so important in all of our communities, and why we're so grateful to all of you who have kept the music so vibrant and in tune and alive, because the vibration of Master and of Swami's discipleship comes through that. And Swami created all these ceremonies, the Festival of Light, the purification ceremony. These had never been done. Where did he get these ideas? But he wasn't afraid to do it because the roots that went down and drew from Master, and he felt that everything he did was an expression. And it's creating the Nayaswami order. The Swami order had been created by Swami Shankaracharya thousands of years ago. Nobody had revisited it. But here Swami is creating a Dwapara Yuga Swami order based not, as he said, on life rejecting, but on samadhi affirming. And that might be, in a way, what characterized his discipleship. It was not about what you can't do. It was about what you can do to find God. And it awakened in all of us a purpose. And just as I said, I was early on, I was looking, what is meaningful in life? What has purpose? But from the first time I sat under the shade of that powerful tree, I thought, this will last a lifetime of dedication and enthusiasm and challenges and tests and the ability to find the deepest part of myself and give that to God. And this is a new kind of discipleship, a new kind of renunciation. And it's really hard to imagine the impact of what he brought to the world, what it will have in time. And people often ask, do you feel Swami's presence still after leaving the body? And how can I feel that presence? I never even met him, people say. How can I know him? How can I tune into him? Well, his name, he chose the name, monastic name, Kriyananda. Kriya is both the highest technique of meditation that Master gave, and it also means to act. Both of those. And I've been told, not being a Sanskrit scholar, that karma and kriya, karma is to act, kriya is this technique, they're both from the same Sanskrit root, but karma means action that still draws a reaction. So if you do something with an egoic consciousness, it still draws some kind of reaction that you have to deal with, but kriya is an action that dissolves reaction. It's the action that frees. So both of these aspects, and Master said to Swami, your life is one of intense activity and meditation. And Swami often said he put intense activity first and meditation second. But for all of us to, if we want to feel Swami's presence more, if you've never even met him, I know there are many new people here today. He was one of the greatest souls of our time. And read The New Path if you want to know more about him. It will give you deep insight into his life with Master and his service. But to be able to follow with that intense activity, but with depth of meditation, that's where you really begin the process of knowing who and what he was. A few days ago, Jatish and I had quite a busy day, not unusual for us, but it was the end of the day, and we'd just been, many people had come to talk, and one person was having a trouble some troubles that needed to be dealt with. And then we, that was completed, and we went in to meditate. And we have a picture of Swami on our altar. You know, he never wanted us to put him, as you see on our altar, he's off to the side. He said, I'm not one of the gurus, and I don't want to be thought of like that. I'm only a disciple. And he also said, I want to be remembered at the end of my life. I want people to think he was a good disciple. In spite of not, he wrote 150 books, he wrote 400 pieces of music. I am a good disciple. And that's what he gave us as a model. But in, so we went in, after this busy day, we went into our meditation room. And the light, it was, sun was setting, and the light was coming in just at a certain angle, and Swami's picture was totally illumined. It was so beautiful. I just felt he was saying, good work today, guys. You know? And I'm digressing a bit, but I will tell you this little story from the early days. I'd forgotten about it till just this moment. But I was working at the meditation retreat at the time, and in those days, not only did we not have computers, we didn't have telephones up there. So we never really knew who was coming. We'd get in the mail, we'd get a letter, but we never knew. And I was working at the desk. And so, you know, and we had this storeroom that had sleeping bags in it that we would give to people if they didn't bring anything. And I, sorry to admit, I don't think they were ever washed. I think we just put them in that storeroom. But finally, it was the end of the day. It was actually nighttime by this time, and we'd given out the last sleeping bag. And then I was just locking up, ready to go to my little trailer where I lived. And I wasn't married to Jyotish at the time. And this car pulls up. This man gets out. And he said, oh, I want to stay here. And I said, well, do you have a sleeping bag? I can give you a pad. He said, no, I didn't bring anything. Okay. And I thought, I have a pad, I have a sleeping bag in my trailer. So I said, just wait a minute. I went back, I got, gave him my pad, gave him my sleeping bag, and slept on the wood that night with a little blanket. And in the morning, I just have, Swami came up to give Sunday service, and I just happened to see him, and he looked at me. I didn't tell him anything about what had happened. Why would I? But he just said, now you're getting the idea. And you give it everything you've got. You give it everything you've got. And then, you know, Master said to Swamiji, you have a great work to do. And later after he passed, and his chief disciple, Rajasijanakananda, took Master's, became the president. Rajasi said to Swami, never having heard Swami or Master say that to Swami, Rajasi said, Master has a great work for you to do, and he will give you the strength to do it. And just as Swami embraced all of us in his discipleship, saying, we're all disciples of Master, I say to those of you who have ears to hear, we all have a great work to do, because we are Swami's children, and we all must follow and carry on in his discipleship, in the great work he did. And he is always with us. He's always guiding us. And so it's with, not that it makes us important. The more we forget ourselves, the more we can carry on the great work that Swami gave, Master gave Swami to do. And that Swami said, come along. You can do this as well. And it's a lifetime well spent, and it's a lifetime very blessed to have been under the shade of that great, great tree that God grew.
Every morning when I greet the sun, when I move forth through crowded ways, in my heart, Lord, ever so silently, I will always think of Thee. In my heart, Lord, ever so silently, I will always think of Thee. Always stay.